Hare Krishna. We are reading this morning from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text number 4. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Male Apashyat Purusham Punam Mayam Cha Tadapashrayam. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Male Apashyat Purusham Punam Mayam Chatat Apashrayam. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Male Apashyat Purusham Punam Mayam Chatatapashrayam. Because bhakti, devotional service, yogena, by the process of linking up, manasi, upon the mind, sangyak, perfectly, pranihite, engaged in and fixed upon. Amale, without any matter. Apashyat, so. Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Punam, absolute. Mayam, energy. Cha, also. Tat, his. Apashrayam, under full control. Translation. Thus he fixed his mind perfectly, engaging it by linking it in devotional service. Actually, I should say, to give you the contents, it's about Srila Vyasadeva, who sat at his ashram on the western bank of the river Saraswati at a location called Samyaprasa, and fixed his mind and then had a realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this he, Vyasadeva, is indicated. Thus, I will say it again. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Purport. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service. And one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. Srila Vyasadeva did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Vasudeva Savam Iti. In the Upanishad also, it is confirmed that Vasudev, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden, glowing Hiranmayena Patrina veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the Absolute is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha or person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is mentioned in so many literatures and in the Bhagavad Gita. The Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is the perfect person. The Supreme Person has manifold energies, out of which the internal, external and marginal energies are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as will be clear from the statements of her activities. The internal energy is there along with the Absolute Person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. The word apashrayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior energy is also called maya, but it is spiritual maya or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of this internal potency, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. And even those who are Atmarama or fixed in trance take shelter of this maya or internal energy. Devotional service or bhakti yoga is a function of the internal energy. Thus there is no place for the inferior energy or material energy, just as there is no place for darkness in the effulgence of spiritual light. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Parama Purusha cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will be explained in the later shlokas. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshakalpataru Vaisya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Vaditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. I would like to request all the superior Vaishnavas to give me their permission to speak in front of them, so that with their blessings the admittedly part and parcel of nervousness goes away. Hare Krishna. Devotees, let us read again the verse. Bhakti yogena manasi sangyak pranihite male apasyat purushang punam mayam chatat apashayam. Translation. Thus he fixed his mind perfectly, engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the Absolute Personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which is under full control. In this verse, a very comforting a Sanskrit word is there, apashrayam, which means under full control. Maya, or the illusory potency which holds the whole world under her spell, is not Serbian underground fighter gone out of political control. Maya is under full control of the supreme personality of Godhead. And that is comforting, because Maya is very, very powerful. Lord Kapila Dev says, just see the awesome power of my illusory energy, with a mere lifting up of the eyebrows of a woman, even the most mightiest of controllers becomes controlled. That is certainly distressing. But she is under the control of the Lord. In my younger days, being desirous for economic advancement, I went to distribute materialistic newspapers to get money. And there was one, I remember, one man who had a huge garden and an equally huge dog guarding it. So this man was desiring that I would ring the bell every morning when I would come at 6 o'clock to give him his and give him his newspaper personally into his hand, so that he could read it in the bed. And being desirous of a material reward, some German marks, I obliged. Now there was a problem with this function. Whenever we ring, the huge dog heard the bell first and ran towards the fence, making an abnormal show of aggression. He would, the saliva would practically wetten us, and it was, you could only survive it by closing the eyes and continuing. So then, after some time, the man used to come, and as soon as he appeared on the scene, he used to call him Bonnie, and then the dog became submissive, and sometimes the rich man even brought me into his house to give me an even bigger reward, and then that dog became the friend. It licked the hand out of affection for me. In other words, this is beyond all the joke. What is witnessable here is that an almost unsurmountable enemy, who is extremely fearsome, becomes less of a problem when the master appears and has full control over it. In the same way, the material energy is under the full control and command of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayad Yakshena. Akshena means the eyes which are fully aware of what is happening. The Maya is under the full energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he commands her to leave his devotee, then the problem subsides. This is a very important distinction of the bhakti process and other yoga processes. We have full faith in the commanding power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who takes material impediments on our path away from us. Therefore, in bhakti, which is sometimes called, it's the path of the cat, which surrender or sharanagati to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the path. See, there are two, the yoga is this, there are two paths. One is called the monkey path and one is the cat path. And the difference is a distribution of power. In the monkey example, the little monkey, weak as he is, has to have hold of the mother monkey and then rides through the jungle. Often he falls down because he is very weak. And whereas in the cat path, the powerful cat mother carries the young cat in her jaw, and she is responsible for the success of the carriage of that kitten. So in Krishna consciousness or bhakti, we do not depend on sense control and yoga or jnana or even karma, but we depend on, which is where we depend on our own strengths. Bhakti depends solely and solely on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Ramachandra, he explains this principle by saying that anyone who sincerely says, "From my dear Lord, from this day on, I am yours, I protect him and I give him fearlessness." It's also important. You have to have courage that you are, or confidence, utsahan, and to the other, that you can make it. Now, this brings me to my subject matter. This was only a prelude to one, get your attention by joking, putting a joking example. Devotees who are tired, listen. And the second is, I wanted to give for critics some reasoning for this by saying what distinguishes bhakti from all the other paths. It's not critics of devotees, but critics in the intellectual community. Now we want to go into the subject matter of today's what I have prepared for you. I'm giving this with nervousness because my favorite author, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, sits in the audience, and I will say something which has very much to do with his wonderful seminar, which we all are listening with great anticipation, hoping that all our problems will be solved at the end. But today, we were philosophically establishing in bhakti the mercy of the Lord counts, that's all, and the devotee has to surrender to the Lord, and he can do so knowing that the Lord will protect him and will give him fearlessness and strength on his path. Huh? That is our point. Now, when we all come to Krishna consciousness, this strikes a vital chord in our mind. Someone who begins the process of Krishna consciousness is tremendously enthusiastic and, as we could also say, idealistic. Throughout the course of his devotional service, that enthusiasm and idealism has to be maintained because it's the first principle in the advancement of bhakti. Often, though, a devotee has to struggle to keep this idealism and enthusiasm afloat. We sometimes look back into the past with a bemused and elderly smile and think, "Oh, I was so enthusiastic. I jumped so high. I had such high expectations and conceptions of my advancement. Now I'm married, and I bow down to the economic needs with a full dandavat, allow myself a sophisticated criticism of the enthusiastic mentality of young devotees." The devotees say, "Now I have become much more realistic. I am looking more realistic into the world of Krishna consciousness." To start off, it is totally normal for a person to take the journey from idealism to realism. Idealism is described to be as to place ideals before practical considerations, whereas realism is described as to place the circumstances or the practical considerations before one's ideal. Persons do it, they become more acquainted with the rules of the society and therefore become realists. Movements do it. An example for a person, for persons is ourselves and our generation. We used to say, don't trust anyone above 30. The reason why we said it is he's not free any longer in his thinking, feeling and willing. He has succumbed to the rules of the society, which obviously needs to be changed. Movements do this journey. For instance, the Green Party, do not know how well it is. I think they are all over Europe. They were very idealistic to change the society, to make it a better place, a more human place for everyone to express his freedom. Not so much work, obviously, and so on and so forth. And Sisi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And in the course of their development, they came into the Bundestag, the parliament, and they had to bow down to parliamentary rules. They didn't make any more these demonstrations, which changed a lot of awareness in at least Germany on environmental problems. But they became slave to the slow operating parliament, which went under which goes under certain rules. So when they were asked and challenged, why did you do this? Why did you use your bite and your youthful enthusiasm? The Greens said, well, we have to be realistic. At this, the Greens split into two parties. One is called the Realos, and one is the Fundis. The realistic people and the fundamentalists, meaning in that case the idealists. So in Krishna, let us now look at why this is so. Well, why does a person travel from idealism to realism? There are simple reasons. One is he's getting older. He can't jump so high any longer, so he is a little bit seduced by his old age to not get so much into a movement. He becomes interested in security and care for his own life, whereas as a young person you can sleep under a tree you are often under the care of your parents, who give you money if you need it. So in other words, age changes, but also circumstances do change. Movements do change, politics, political environments change, and so on and so forth. I'm being a little fast because we want to come to the main subject. How is it with us and our journey from idealism and realism? Are we at all aware of such a journey? I would say most of us are not so aware about it because we don't hear it expressed in such terms. But I think if we look a little bit on our lives and the lives of our fellow Vaishnavas, we have seen that they have changed over the years. For instance, when you join, you become you are enthusiastic. I thought that I will be a pure devotee very fast, because chant and be happy. I remember we were so joyful in the first days. We did also crazy things, and one of the crazy things was we just stood on the streets of Hamburg and we chanted with juiceful abundance. I'm going back to Godhead. You know, we chanted it in melodies from the previous times. But we were so enthusiastic. We thought our journey to Krishna Loka, where every step would be a dance, would be a matter of a minute. We quoted Prabhupada when he answered the question, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, you can become Krishna conscious in 1 second or not after many millions of lives. It only depends on understanding and applying the process. And we thought it's very simple. Our GBC explains the process very good to us. We will understand it very easily. And applying, well, that's why we joined. So we quoted Prabhupada when he answered the question, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, you can become Krishna conscious in 1 second or not after many millions of lives. It only depends on understanding and applying the process. And we thought it's very simple. Our GBC explains the process very good to us. We will understand it very easily. And applying, well, that's why we joined. So we expected the enlightenment to appear very quickly in our lives. Then later some of our devotees said, well, I have to be realistic, I have material desires and I'm not free of sexual interests, I have to be realistic. I think I have to change the ashram and go into the Grihastha ashram. And at that time, in our very young movement, this was almost like a betrayal of the ideals. We were sure amongst our brahmacharis we would not entangle ourselves with the illusory energy and so on and so forth. That's one example. I'm speaking still, obviously, I remember as a preacher talking to our young brahmacharinis, and you know how they said, Maharaj, I really have enough of combining with the opposite sex. I will never marry. I will never even think of a shadow of the idea of marriage. Now, I'm very well aware that marriage is a saintly institution, and I don't want to be condemned by our 90% of the ISKCON population. Certainly, the marriage is not maybe not even the best example for illustrating the journey from idealism to realism. There are other things, like thinking we have joined, for instance, when devotees join, we join the society of pure devotees. Of devotees. Everyone is a saint. There is no politics. There is never saying a bad word about anyone out of material, out of motives. There are many, many examples, and I don't want to go through all of them here in this lecture, because I mean, we could give examples which would dampen the atmosphere, obviously. And you are creative young thinkers. You can do it in your weak moments, your crisis of faith. And you most probably have done it already. So this journey from idealism to realism takes place in every human being, also in a devotee. I want to say now, coming to the positive side of the presentation, that this journey, when it's done properly, will be a journey of enlightenment. It will be a journey which equips us with more faith than when we started the journey. This journey from idealism to realism will give us peace in the heart and in the mind, and this journey will also make us strong. and powerful servants of our spiritual master. This journey will make us powerful centennial workers and will bring us back home, back to Godhead. We have to understand, however, in this journey, two very important words. One is vikara and one is vastu. Vikara means that which is put together. In Sankhya philosophy, it is used for material phenomena. Let us, for instance, use an example which will again be a wakener for some of us. A cake, a tasty, succulent cake. It's a vikara. It's put together from grains which come from Poland, maybe, and there is sugar which comes from south of Austria. There is cherries which come from. Where do the cherries come from? Cherryland. I don't know. I don't know a typical place in Europe where cherries grow. From everywhere. You know, from Holland. Dutch fruits with a lot of chemicals and so on. It comes from Holland. It's put together from different places of the material energy. It exists for a certain time and then it will disintegrate again. We will consume it and the rest is taking place at the private place. And then it will be distributed in the in some ways in nature again. So this is vikara. All material phenomena, buildings, bodies, universes are vikara. They're put together by elements leaned from the material energy. They are there for some time and they are again dissolved after some time. Now in there is another word, this other word vastu means substance, and substance doesn't is not used or in Sankhya philosophy, and as it appears in the Bhagavatam, substance or the vastu is always used in terms of essence, and that means the spiritual dimension where the spiritual realities, which do not change, which are not under the influence of kala, which moves the vikara, is there. The spiritual reality is not under influence of time, and it is therefore vastu in essence. Now the Bhagavatam says, speaks of this vastu in the second verse already. I want to read this for you. Dharma projita kaita vatra paramo nimatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam hi atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Vastu here is translated as substance. The substance. And I will read it to you. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. Here. The highest truth is reality. Here Prabhupada says it's reality, vastu, translates it as reality. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So in our journey from idealism to realism, there is a very interesting, I don't know how this is called in the street. When the street is going like this, and then two ways go like this. How do you call this? A road fork.
A fork in the road.
In German it's called eine Weggabelung. For those of you who do not understand so well the English word. So in our path from idealism to realism, there is a vicarious or very heavy fork in the road, and it requires a lot of eyesight. In fact, you can't see that fork in the road only by your own eyes. You have to put the Shastra Shakshu. You have to look through the eyes of the Shastras to really recognize it. It's really subtle to see it, the fork in the road. One goes to a wrong understanding of realism, and it brings you into the land of no enthusiasm, depression, and maya. And the other side of the road, which has to do with vastu, with the reality, the other fork in the road goes to spiritual realism. And I would like to talk now about some aspects of this spiritual realism. First of all, what is always real? No, real. The word realism means that which does not change. Let us now collect a few things which don't change in when we become older in Krishna consciousness, more critical or whatever. I would say there are many things which don't change. One is, for instance, that there really is Maya, and that the material world is Maya. You might ask, why do I start with this? Well, I have my reasons. The other, that's the most important real person, is the perfect personality of Krishna, who always, and that's a third real thing, answers a devotee. In the degree someone surrenders unto me, I reward him. That's a natural law. It is one of the natural laws of bhakti, just like the gravitation law is there. When I would be so bold as to get even the most sleepy person awake and make an experiment by letting this drop down, there is only one direction this could go. It would not fly into the mouth of Mahavishnu and nourish his thirst, quench his thirst. There's only one direction. It's because it's a natural absolute law. In the same way, in spiritual life, there are a few natural absolute laws, and one is, in the degree someone surrenders to Krishna, Krishna reveals himself, rewards himself. This is really there. This is very nicely in a little leela. I want to tell a little leela for this, because sometimes our devotees doubt this. What? Why does he cruelly say this from the Vyasa-san? I have surrendered, I've given my best years to the movement, huh? Do you recognize this? Now I'm old and useless, and look at me. Look at me. Something you didn't maybe recognize the fork really in your journey. Maybe you have to backtrack a little bit and see it with help of fork seers. I want to just tell this. It branches a little off, but it's so nice. I heard this the other day. So the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Srivas Pandit, "You have such a big family, and your work is puja. Why don't you work something to maintain this? It must be difficult." So Srivas Pandit just banged three times in his hand. "Huh?" said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And again he said, "Why don't you work something for the security of your family? Don't have trust in puja only."
Ha 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 ha!
Congratulations for the fasting. Fastest day.
This is certainly amazing.
Very good. Very impressive.
So Mahaprabhu then asked, please explain your behavior. Why are you...
Well, Srivastava,
my dear Lord, don't test me. I'm a fully surrendered soul. Please don't do this. When you don't give us food for one day, then we will fast and tolerate. When you don't give us food for the second day, that's why I clapped twice in the hands, we will tolerate and fast. And if you don't give us food on the third day, we will tolerate and fast. And then he got temperamental. And if you don't give us food on the fourth day, we will all go to the Ganga and drown ourselves.
Now, the statement, to translate it into ISKCON reality, to make it very clear. It would be something like if we would come to Radhadesh and we would go to Hriday Chaitanya, our temple president, and we would say, I will kill myself if I don't get prasadam. No one will kill himself. It's just an affectionate way of, please give me prasadam. It's an affectionate way of saying it, isn't it? Don't you sometimes come to a friend and say, I'm so hungry, if you don't give me food, and you know they have cooked already a huge feast, you know, I will just jump off a cliff, you know, I'm so hungry. And then the friend will say, with pleasure I will offer you this meal. It has also different preparations which you like on the plate. So this is the face of a devotee. A devotee is like a chakora bird. This Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami's verse in the second canto. A chakora bird will go has a vow. He only drinks water when it's still in the cloud. It never drinks water which has touched the earth. It never does it. And listen to this biological wonder. Chakora bird will fly even into a cloud which is thundering, where flashes are coming. It's dangerous. But the chakora bird will go there and will drink the crystal clear cloud water. That's his vow. That's his activities in life. So in the same way, Rupa Goswami says, a devotee is like a chakora bird, that he only surrenders unto Krishna. He is a realist in the sense of vastu, the substance which does not change. These are the natural laws of spiritual life. Sometimes we have to be tested. Krishna wants to see, if we are really coming worth to enter the spiritual world. Therefore, a devotee sometimes goes to a fire test. Even in Islam religion you have this. The Sufis say, before you reach the kingdom of God, you have to run over a bridge, which is where there is left side and right side there is fire. Shh. And you can only, now listen to this, run over the bridge by closing your eyes in faith of Allah's guidance. So a devotee also is tested whether or not he's sincere and will not disturb the Supreme Lord. Now you can go over this fire bridge. Let us not use such a heavy word. You can go over this bridge to the bank of realism, to the side of realism, when you know from the start of your journey, it's bhakti what I want to obtain. Because bhakti, if you develop the bhakti principle in your own heart, you will have faith and you will have pleasure. It is said, Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Virakti Anyatracha, that by the bhakti you will feel a feeling of love. You will have Parishanu Bhavo, an experience of the Lord's mercy, and finally a sense of renunciation of the material world. But you only get it through bhakti. It does not come through any other process. It just does not come. There is a verse in this connection. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust, but this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. For this is satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the personality of Godhead. For those who want to read this verse in their private reading hours, it's in Canto 1, Chapter 6, Verse 35. So, this is really, I will come now to the close, this is really what we have to say today. Practice bhakti by following the five most important angas, sadhu sangha, chanting the holy name, reading of the Bhagavatam, serving the deity, and said Mathura Vasa, residing at a holy place like Radhadesh, and making pilgrimages when our time to visit the holy Dham comes. Let us fix ourselves here. Let this be, so to say, our road companions and our road from idealism to realism. Let us always be helped by these powerful road companions so that we will see the fork in the road and we will go the right direction. And let us go this road and take shelter in this Vastu, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His wonderful holy name. I think all of you who come to these conventions, they experience, isn't it, some feeling of strength in the heart, some feeling of enthusiasm, isn't it? Do we have to drag this out of the nose of the audience, or you know? I think it's a realistic observation that this comes when we are there. Even old circumstances, even the body can be overcome by this thing. I remember Ravindra Swarupavu, when you were on Navadvip Mandal Parikrama that day, you danced like a 16-year-old young boy. You are even visible in the Vector Godhead magazine. This is a fact. It is factual. It is not some vague words from the lecture pulpit. It is practical. It is realistic. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do you have any questions regarding this? Or I fear the question is, when are you going to stop? Because it's 9:10. Shonaka Rishi says, okay, I will be a good boy and not demand questions. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Radha Gopinatha ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.